Ephesians chapter number 6. Would you stand with me as we read God's word? Ephesians chapter and number 6. Ephesians 6. Look if you would at verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Go back to verse 1, if you would. Can you guys help me read it on the screen here, reading your Bible? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Let's try it one more time. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I want to talk about how to have happy children or how to be a happy child. How to have happy children, how to have happy grandchildren, how to have happy great-grandchildren, or how to be a happy child. And I think it'll be a help to us. How many of you, by the way, are interested in seeing happy children or being a happy child? How many of you are going to take notes for the first time all year? Yeah. And we're going to see what God's word says to us. Would you pray with me one more time? Father, we do pray for our missionaries, the Simmons. Do bless them. Bless Eddie, Lord. Lord, just an immensely disruptive surgery on his hand, but necessary. And Father, as he copes with the pain meds and the rehab, and he was out of a month of rehab. And Lord, he's doing all this not because he can't live well in America, but because it is necessary for him to go back and do the gospel work you've called him to. So how I pray you to be with him. Father, I pray for our folks, our community, Lord, the Carn, Cedar Bluff, Hardin Valley community, Lord, is just a seesawing, teeter-tottering, Father, between, Lord, hysteria and apathy. And so, Father, I pray that you would help. Lord, it all takes away from what's important. What's important is focusing on you. So how I pray that you would help us. And, Father, if folks are scared and they're skittish and all these kind of things, Lord, I ask that they would have great faith in you. Father, I pray even now you give leadership wisdom, be with our federal elected officials, our state and our local, be with our police, our first responders. We are called to pray for them best we can, submit to them in the areas that belong to them. And so, Father, I pray we do that. I pray for the pastors facing jail time because they dared to preach the gospel right now and open their services. I pray for the pastors in California, Lord, who are facing, Lord, challenges nobody's faced in the States. Lord, this has always been another country. Oh, I pray that they would do so boldly and they would give you honor and glory and no one will misunderstand, Father, what they're doing. Be with the churches in Nevada, Lord, some, again, facing jail time and those kind of things. And God, I pray you'd help us. We wrap up our series on the family. That you would be with us, that you would go with us, Father. Father, Spirit, Lord, you know I'm very distracted this morning. Holy Spirit, focus me like a laser beam, I ask. And God, that you would help me. Help me to do the things and say the things that would be appropriate, nothing less. That I'd speak clearly. I pray you'd help my voice to be strong. Pray give me the energy that I need to preach your word with power. Thank you for what's going on in our lives, and I pray that in all this we'd hold tightly your hand. So do what I cannot, and I ask it all in your son's precious name, and amen. Amen. You can be seated. I'd have happy children. See if I can move some things around here and do a little more center stage. I'd be a happy child, or I'd have happy children. Again, I'll stand as much as I can, but just not a not much. I've got it, guys. Thank you. still working on some of those things. I'd have happy children. I always love Christmas commercials. Anybody besides me love a Christmas commercial? And I'm not talking about the Hallmark Channel. I'm not talking about Christmas in July. And if you're here as a man, if you're watching, and you've been watching Christmas movies for the last 2 months, I want your man card. And I say that smile on my face. Several of you have been watching, sorry, based on your faces here. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you see it, when you see it, when the Coca-Cola polar bear starts sliding, when the jingle of the sleigh bells on the horses, when it's just there. And whatever it is, whether it's the jewelry commercials and some guy's going and he's picking up something for his wife, or whether it's the guy getting the first string of pearls for his daughter, any of those commercials. But my favorites are when it seems like they're walking out of the store or the mall or wherever, and they're dressed up. And so they've got on their Currier and Ives clothing. They've got on corduroy pants and a heavy sweater. The wife looks like she just stepped out of a boutique. You've seen the commercials, haven't you? And then there's the children, who instead of, like other children that I have known in my life, are leaving the store, not going, but, why couldn't I get this? Why? And you're dragging them out of the store, debating whether or not you want to tempt the cops and just wear them out right there in front of God and everybody. Or you're looking at your wife going, or your husband going, why did we bring these children with us? We said last time they were never coming in a store again. This is never going to happen. And instead, but on the commercial, they're walking out and they're skipping, and the son looks happy, and the daughter looks happy, and the dog looks happy. I don't know how he got in the store, but you know, you've seen the commercial, right? And they're all walking out, and I'm watching, I'm going, that is nobody's experience I know at Christmas. It's gimme, 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 I want, right? It's the freight train. And if you take somebody to go buy a gift, they want to buy a gift for them. I want to be rewarded for thinking about buying something for others. And it's immensely expensive. And so when I see those, I think this is just pure fantasy to see these people like this. Anybody besides me that cynical, and you watch those commercials and you go, that is not my life experience, and that's nobody's life experience. Now, if your family always does this, so I'll step down. You can finish the sermon. And that's everybody you ever knew. But instead, it's usually struggle between unhappy, miserable, hateful, need a whooping. And every now and then, anybody here, mom, dad, stepmom, stepdad, grandma, granddad, going, I need a whooping every now and then because I'm in a bad way. Dude, man, why can't they be like this? If we had a dollar for every time we looked at our sleeping children and said, if they would only stay like this, they would only continue like this. Now, some of you are taking good notes, and others of you are going, Pastor has bad children. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we all feel this. We all want this. We all want happy, well-rounded children. You go to the local school sometime. You watch children running out to the cars, blasting their parents. You watch the teenagers talking so ugly on the phone to mom or dad or stepmom or stepdad. You watch the defeated parent, stepparent at any kind of PTA rally or meeting. You watch the exasperated father or stepmom in a store going, because they're at their wits' end with someone who is completely dependent on them for life and food and electricity. So when we talk about this subject, we're talking about something that affects us all. And let me say again, by way of introduction, just so I'm saying, to have a blended family, whether it's a step situation or adopted situation, or you're as a grandparent, a great-grandparent, and you're taking more interest or even more opportunity in raising a child. This affects everybody. You let somebody not live for Jesus and watch it break the heart of the whole family tree. You watch somebody really get into deep sin and watches it just hurts everyone as they feel helpless. And so when we're talking about this, we're not talking about pie in the sky. We're not trying to make your life look like an artificial commercial. What does the Bible say about this? How do we do this? How do we raise our family or help children to be happy and joyful in the Lord? We're in the middle of a series, or in the end of a series, and typically, again, just for time's sake, we're not able to look at everything. We'll revisit some of this, but if we were able to spend time in chapter 5, you're still with me, say amen. You're able to spend some time in chapter 5, excuse me, you would see where he talks about husbands and wives and men and women submitting themselves to each other in the Lord and working that out and having the right relationship. And he dovetails right into chapter 6. And this is the parent, excuse me, the child's relationship to the parent, the child's relationship to the parent. As we look at this, I want to remind you that this all comes from the Old Testament. It comes from, if you allow, the fifth commandment. Someone said we need 10 commandments in our schools. I agree. We need 10 commandments in our courts, and I agree, or in our places of business, all those things. We need the 10 commandments written on our hearts. We need the 10 commandments in our homes. First four, the commandments deal vertically, if you'll. They go from us to God. The fifth commandment, commandments 6 through 10, talk about relationships horizontally to each other and to man. The fifth one, I believe, is the linchpin commandment. The fifth commandment is, honor your father and mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God has given thee. Exodus chapter 20, in verse number 12. It is the hinge commandment. Because a child, you're going to teach him to obey you so that when he's older, he'll obey a God that he can't see. And mom and dad, and stepmom and stepdad, and grandma and grandpa have been given this great opportunity to point children to Christ. Aunts, uncles, cousins, everybody on that page there. And we get to do this. See, what is my great responsibility is to teach the next generation to love and honor and obey their family, their mom and dad, because if they'll do that, they'll have so much of an easier time obeying God when they get older. And it's so important. This is the linchpin, if you'll allow. So who in the world is a child, preacher? A child's anybody I believe is a dependent. The idea here is a dependent. If you're 32 and mom still washes your clothes and mom still pays your bills and dad still puts a roof over your head, guess what you get to do? You get to honor and obey. Get to honor and obey. If you're out and you're on your own and all those kind of things, I don't think you have to obey nearly as much. I think you still have to honor, but the obey part, because you're no longer a dependent. Say, I got an uncle preacher, and he's 32, and he lives in the basement. Then he better vacuum the rugs if mom asks him to, because he's still acting like a child. excuse me. If you were asleep, you're not now. And all of you that are watching while driving, sorry I scared you. Who is a child? A child is a dependent. So what is it? Really simple message. Just two ideas this morning. I'd have happy children. The Bible is pretty plain here. If you want it to be well with you, you want to have long days, you want to have quality and quantity of life, then you obey. You obey. This is my action. This is my action. Years ago, the Houston Police Department put together a list of things how to raise a juvenile delinquent. It's been translated in other languages, circled the world. Along with that, and they put it at the front of this, they had a kind of a little funny. It's taken on a life of its own. They say they borrowed it from a newspaper at the turn of the century. I'm not sure the origin of that, but it said 10 reasons why I never wash. 10 reasons why I never wash. Number one, I was made to wash as a child. Number two, people who wash are hypocrites. They think they're cleaner than other people. Number three, there's so many different kinds of soap, I could never decide which one was right. Number four, I used to wash, but it got boring, so I stopped. I still wash. Number six, I still wash on special occasions, like Easter and Christmas. Number seven, none of my friends wash. I believe that. I'm still young. When I'm older and I get a little bit dirtier, I might start washing. I really don't have the time. The bathroom is too cold. It's too hot. It's too warm. The seats are too hard. The people who make soap are only after your money. See, why'd you say that? Because that's the reason people give for not raising their children to love Christ. That's the reason, trying to get their children to love Christ, trying to teach them the scripture, trying to get them to obey them and the Lord. It's the same kind of foolish reasoning. Well, I don't go to church because I was made to and all these kind of things. No, we teach our kids to wash and your grandkids to wash because they need to wash. Let's say amen. I need a little bit of feedback up here. We do this. Say, I want to be a happy child, learn to obey. I want my children to be happy, my stepchildren, my grand. Teach them to obey. Teach them to obey. The word obey means to submit, to comply, to hearken, to follow the directions of or guidance of some instruction there. It means to obey. It means to obey. Around my church growing up, when I was a teenager rather, my pastor said it like that. Obey means to obey completely, sweetly, and immediately. Obey means to do it completely, sweetly, and immediately. That's the idea here in this Greek word. Obey completely. Anybody ever ask somebody to do something, they did it about halfway? How'd it make you feel? Anybody? Anybody thrill you? You take out the trash, it makes it to the door. Shut the door. It doesn't get shut all the way. Do it completely. You want to continually find yourself unemployed? Do things about halfway. Obey completely. Obey sweetly. Sweetly. Is there anything any worse than a rotten attitude in most people's minds? Fine. I'm pretty sure my ears are so sensitive I can hear eyes roll from up here on the stage. And they do that and they mock. Someone said, aren't you glad we don't live in the Old Testament times? And I said to one kid one time, yeah, because you'd already been eaten by a bear, for being disrespectful. If God struck down everybody who was disrespectful, we'd be a lot of, we wouldn't need as many schools around here, Mike. And we were to obey. This is what I get to do, obey. Obey how? Obey in the Lord. Obey in the Lord. Look back in the text. If you would obey your parents in the Lord. Obey those in authority over you in the Lord. There is a limit. They ask you to go rob a bank? No. They ask you to break the law? No. They ask you to do whatever. And God help us. I graduated from college in 1992. Did some other work. I've been piddling around on a doctorate of ministry forever. How long? I'd have never in my life thought that folks who were supposed to know better, adults, would be so open and obvious and casual in their depravity towards young people. I'd have never get young people to help them with their drugs, get young people to help them with their alcohol, get young people and encourage them to take off their clothes and take pictures and make money off them and other things. Just way too horrendous for me to say from a public pulpit. And what I have observed in almost the last 28, 29 years, not only was I not ready for, but I don't think I could have ever gotten ready for. And the evil that is out there, they are to obey in the Lord. To corporally punish a child is not to wound that child so much they've got to go to the hospital. It is not to take out your frustration on them in some drunken rage. And children being children is not the same as children being disobedient. And a kid with a crayon on the wall doesn't need to be tore all to pieces. He needs to be given some soap and a bucket and a brush and fix what he did and understand that's not good behavior. There's a difference here of scale. And we get to do this in the Lord. In the Lord. The social observers have been terrified for the extended period of time. Children have been out of school. Terrified that ugly adults would prey on children who had no outlet. As I read those stories and looked at the statistics, I said, oh God, I pray that's not true. We are to obey. You obey in the Lord. You obey in the Lord. You obey in the Lord. There's that limit there. And you do it for the why. You learn to obey mom and dad, stepmom and stepdad, because there's a day coming when you're going to be called on to obey a God who you cannot see. You obey the one now you can see. Say, it doesn't matter if my kid does what I ask. You are teaching them that it doesn't matter to obey the Lord. I get to do this now. Again, everybody's personality is different. Your house may look more like an army barracks. Somebody else's house may look like the third aisle at Hobby Lobby. Inside of your own personality, they need to obey. That means I need to be clear about things. It means I need to be gentle about things. The point is not to catch them doing what's wrong. The point is to get them to do what's right, because I want them to obey the Lord. Somebody say amen to that, by the way. Amen. See, preacher, blah, no, no. No, the book's not written on my kids, my family. The book's not finished on my marriage. The book's not finished on my ministry. I had a phone call 6 weeks ago from a guy, 50 years in ministry, same church, 30-some years, and he is a pariah in his town right now because for the last ever how long, he and his wife in particular, had been robbing the church blind. A man in his late 60s, early 70s, and everyone has forgotten what he did for Jesus because of how he finished. Book's not finished on my life. Not finished on my family's life. I'm in process just like the rest of you. They want to have happy children, teach them to obey. Expect them to obey. Demand obedience. I don't know where we got it, but I want to be my kid's friend. No, I want to be my kid's parent. I like to have fun with them. I like to have fun, period. It's been 3 weeks since I had a donut. I'd like a donut. But, you know, when nobody lets you out of their sight hardly, it's hard to sneak off and grab something. So, Brandon, I'd like you a lot better if you'd have bought me a donut. And so, teasing here. Brandon, like, donut. Obey. Simple idea. Why should you obey? Why should you obey? Because it pleases God. It displeases. Why you do that? Mark chapter 7, verse 10, Moses said, honor your father and mother. Whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. If the death penalty was still around for dishonoring and disobeying our folks, again, it would be an interesting world, wouldn't it? Somebody going, yeah. And all the kids in here going, no. Honor your father and your mother. Mark chapter 7, children, obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing, Lord. You want to be happy? You get right with mom and dad, get right with God, and all of a sudden you'll figure out what joy is. This is the commandment to children, to dependents, whether you're 12 or 22. This is it. This is well-pleasing the Lord. It's well-pleasing to Him. My son, hear the instruction of your father, forsake not the law of your mother. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 8. My son, keep your father's commandment, forsake not the law of your mother. Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep my words, lay up my commandments with thee. Proverbs 7, 1. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Proverbs 10:1. Full time. I could hang a shingle out there on Hardin Valley Road and say, help with your family. Guaranteed. And I would stay booked as long as I wanted to, with parent after parent, relationship after relationship, and child after child, stepchild after stepchild. Why? Because there is no wound and no hurt like a disobedient child or a wayward child in the eyes of a mom or dad, stepmom, stepdad. And there is no hurt like a child or stepchild when they feel the relationship is broken with their parents. Even the child is known by his doings, whether his way be pure, whether it be right. Proverbs 20, verse 11. I'm talking to every kid in the room, every kid watching. Listen to your mom and dad. Obey them. Hearken to your father which begat thee. Despise not thy mother when she is old. Proverbs 23, 22. Remember now thy creator in the day of thy youth, when the evil days come not. Excuse me. Nor the years draw nigh when thou say thou hast no pleasure in them. Ecclesiastes 12, 1. Obey. So why is it so hard to obey? Why is it so hard to obey? I give these to you. If you're in the app there, you can catch them very quickly. There's a curse in them. We see a little five-year-old running around. We go, oh, that's a good boy. That's a good girl. You know what biblically ought to say? They are Adam's child, full of death and destruction. And in any moment, if you give them enough slack, they'll be committing any kind of evil as they grow up and old. Beware of them. They're fallen, evil in nature. I don't think we could put that on a greeting card, would we? We wouldn't be asked back to a lot of children's birthday parties, would we? I mean, you're going, I'd like to see that one time, preacher. No, they've got the curse in them. Nobody's got to teach them to disobey. Nobody's got to teach them to sass their mom and dad. Nobody's got to teach them to back talk. Nobody's got to teach them to roll their eyes or do anything, to lie, cheat, or steal. They got all that from their great-grandfather Adam. They've got the curse in them. You got to quit teaching them like they're really good kids who just need a little help. No, they're really sinful kids who need to be saved. They need to know who Christ is. Number two, there's a corruption around them. There's a corruption around them. Growing up, there was a fabulous island place called 7-Eleven. Anybody in here ever heard of a 7-Eleven? 7-Eleven. To my knowledge, it was exactly two within 15, 20 miles of where I lived. The 7-Eleven I knew anything about was right beside the barber shop in Goldsboro. It was about a 15-minute drive. We would get our hair cut. It was a manly barber shop. They used scented powder on your neck, lather, and shaved your neck, cut your hair, talked about sports, and then they would lacquer you down with Consort hairspray. I'm convinced there's an ozone hole over the Jefferson Street barber shop. They've closed now. Both guys are retired. Mom sometimes would drop us off, or Dad, if Dad was with us. But if Dad was with us, we would go next door to 7-Eleven. I got about 6-7 minutes. We go in there, and 7-Eleven had the thing that I'd never heard of in my life, a slushie. And you could pick your size, your cup you wanted, and you could have a grape slushie or a strawberry slushie, or if you were maniacal, you could mix them. And you could do that. And at some point, they came out with a cola slushie, which was frozen Coca-Cola. And it's the first time I ever learned the expression brain freeze. Because you'd think, man, this is great. And there would be a line of young men on the sidewalk outside sitting there, all with brain freezes, who'd gotten their hair cut, waiting for their folks, or they lived in the neighborhood, and they were riding their bicycles. And they were going around. The 7-Eleven was the first place my brother and I ever went into that had stuff behind the counter that had black paper in front of it. And all you could see was the top of it. Playboy, Penthouse, etc. And my dad would take us in there and get it. One time Mom was running late coming back to grab us, and we walked out of there, and my mom had a just nut fit. What were you doing in there? We're getting a slushy, brain freeze. And you know. Well, Dad, what we didn't catch, what we didn't know, was we thought 7-Eleven's where you got slushy, but everybody over a certain age knew 7-Eleven's where you went, and you got, that's where you picked up your pornography. First place I'd ever known anything about it. Wait for it. Would God help us in 2020 if the only place you get in trouble is the same place you get a slushy? It's not just TV. It's not just the internet. It's not just the goofy mess in the stores and the malls. There's other parents fighting us how to raise children to be happy in the Lord. School systems. Well-meaning, I think, teachers, but well-meaning nonetheless, completely wrong, trying to steer children toward against the things of the Lord. Whole university system set up, corruption around them. I casually, the two steroids they've got me on right now are just messing with my sleep, so I'm up at night and I can't focus, I can't read, and so I'm just skimming through, watching cartoons or old episodes of this or that. I just, I was thinking about the message, so I just sat there and I scrolled through. Must have been Netflix, may have been Hulu. I scrolled through, and I just counted shows with demon or Lucifer or some type of demonic activity or some type of possession, and I just gave up trying to keep count on my little portable screen there with no filter, no nothing necessary, nothing to tell me, man, this is a NC-17 or this is bad. Some of it was rated like PG-13, but it was full of blatant satanic teaching and instruction and watered down stuff. There is the corruption that is around them that is easily available. And there's a culture coming down upon them. It is seemingly using our port. It is hard to obey. Hard to obey. Second, and I'm done. Honor. Word honor. Word honor is tamao. Same word same beginning word for Timothy. Means to esteem as precious. Years and years, I was a youth pastor, children's pastor. I used to ask young people at camp. I used to ask young people at junior camp. If we put a price tag on your parents based on how you treated them, listen to me. If we put a price tag on your parents, step-parents, grandparents, whoever it is, based on how you treated them, how much would they be worth? How much would they be worth? That's the idea here. To esteem as precious. Literally can mean to make heavy. Goes back to the idea of gold. The heavier a piece of gold is, by definition, the more valuable it is. A kiloton of gold is worth more than just a couple of ounces of gold. You want to be happy? Start honoring your folks. Start honoring your folks. Honor them. Verse 2, honor your family, honor your parents, honor those that are in authority over you. I am with the group that believes you always honor. I think when you're not a dependent, I think the obey is not enforceable as much, particularly when you start your own life, your own adulthood. But I think you honor. I think you honor. You honor them. You always honor. What is dishonor? Dishonor is talking back, cutting off the parent, ignoring, grumbling, disregarding, disobeying, speaking disrespectfully. I was preaching a revival in Florida some years ago. Two girls were there. They were talking in front of me in Spanish, kind of mumbling. Their mom was addressing me. They didn't realize I spoke enough Spanish to catch what they were saying. As they were mumbling and stuff, I figured out they were bad-mouthing their mom and dad. I gave them kind of the skunk eye. It really upset me. They were doing it. I mean, 4 feet from each other. And the mom's telling me what a great message, and she's complimentary. And they are just dogging this. These two girls are just really dogging their mom. And then they catch that I'm listening, and they start texting. And I said, I'll give you $1 if you'll hand your mother your phone. And this very olive-skinned Hispanic young lady turned pale. And her sister started to take off, and her mom jabbered something in Spanish really fast. I couldn't tell. Snatched her phone, looked at it. She went from a very lovely tan to fiery red, said something else in Spanish I didn't catch. Both girls now look like they had the fear of death on them. She says, excuse me, Pastor, I have to deal with something. We will all see you tonight. And I thought, I bet we will. Because now I'm scared, and I didn't do anything wrong. They dishonored them. I think every so often, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, stepmom, stepdad just ought to grab the phone and look at it. Check the messages. They've been deleted, by the way. I think I'd keep the phone. I'm not going to pay for you to be dishonorable. This is my attitude. This is my attitude. How long am I to obey? How long am I to honor? I am to obey. I'm to obey. I'll keep these on the app there. We'll post them online. Why should I do this? Because there's a reward. There's a reward. Two of them. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Let me answer your question. Does that mean that everybody that dies young was dishonorable and disobedient? No. It doesn't mean that. It does mean that if you're dishonorable and disobedient, you can almost mark it down. There'll be a higher occurrence of you passing away early than others. God in His mercy sometimes extends life in spite of how we live. But I've watched, again, almost 29 years now, I've watched person after person after person mouth off, cheese off, disobey mom or dad, and never saw a 30th birthday. So you're trying to scare me? I'm trying to tell you what the Bible says. That it may be well with thee. Thou mayest live long on the earth. There's quality and quantity. Excuse me. Every so often, and some of you are this way, I'll just get very nostalgic. It's easy to keep up with how long my dad's been passed because my oldest niece born the same year, so it's pretty simple to keep that in my head. 21 years ago in June, Dad went to sleep and didn't get up. I thought a lot. I had a lot of time with chemo and thinking. I thought a lot. Boy, am I glad. I didn't leave a lot of stuff undone. I'm glad I didn't leave a lot of words unsaid. To my knowledge, I think the last words I said to my father were, "I love you, Dad." We'd talked a couple weeks before he passed. He wasn't big on talking on the phone. He was inside salesman. Industrial Supplies talked on the phone all day when he got home. Last thing he wanted to do was talk on the phone. Talked to my dad on the phone. He was already trying to get off as soon as he said hello. He wasn't ugly. He just tired of talking on the phone. I thought how awful I would feel 21 years in. Last thing we'd done was argue. Last thing we'd done was be ugly. Last thing we'd done is I'd give him lip or whatever I would have done 27 years ago. I had no idea it was my last conversation. None. Couldn't have known. My brother had talked to him in the meantime. We both have had the same conversation several times. I'm convinced there's some blessings on our family right now because I married a young lady who tried imperfectly to honor and obey her folks. So how do you know? Because she still honors her mom and dad today. I believe explicit. You want to have a happy child? Teach them to honor and obey. Expect them to honor and obey. Extract it from them. Encourage it. Discipline when there's dishonor and disobedience. Be loving. Be kind. Why? Because this is the payoff. That it may be well with thee. Thou mayest live long on the earth. In closing, I think many adults continue to suffer the consequences of disobedience and dishonor. By the way, never too late to make that call. Let me help you. Verse 4 is in play. I don't have the time. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Every so often. There's the broken-hearted child who would love nothing more than please a parent. And it's impossible. Please a step-parent. And out of the grace of the situation, God becomes a father. God becomes a mother. And I would not make any of you feel guilty for the world. And so when you can't do that, then you please the one who is ultimately never going to disappoint you. Ever, never going to disappoint you. Many adults. Number two, children are going to life unprepared because nobody's saying, obey and honor. So you don't believe me? As soon as it's safe, go to the mall. As soon as you feel safe, rather go to the mall. If you don't believe me, go to Walmart on Friday night. Watch the hysteria. the theatrics. Nobody's making. Say, I just don't believe it. Again, I appreciate, again, you know, Army Barracks, creative, bohemian, you know, ballistic. I appreciate the extremes. I'm not talking about extremes. I'm talking about Bible. The Bible says, children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, that may be well with you. Many, we got to do this. And then finally, we got to have a renewed commitment to raise children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is what we're doing on Wednesday night. We're going to have something separate for our young ladies. We want to encourage them to get in the Word. Andre's going to take a swing at it. We're trying to get some of you other ladies involved. We need to do that. We need to encourage them. We're going to try a one-on-one with the young men. We want to make sure they're in the Word. We're trying hard. I'm trying to work on things right now to put tools in our hands as adults to help us as grandparents and parents and with our kids and with helping out the next generation there. We want to do that. We've got to have this renewed commitment to do this. I prayed again. I think I may have opportunity Tuesday night a month to open up to college-age students down here at the Biscuit Place and take questions. I don't know if I'm sharp enough to do that. I don't know if I can, but, man, I'd love to do it. I'd love to have just an opportunity to talk to that generation and encourage them to seek after God. We have got to do this. We've got to do this. We've got to have renewed commitment to do this. Verse 1, look back in your Bibles. I'm done. Children, obey your parents and the Lord. For this is right. Want to have happy children? Want to be a happy child? Obey and honor your family, your mom and dad. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for loving us. How I pray right now. I pray right now that we would hear what you're saying to us. That we would listen intently. God, I pray in these moments that you would help. Father, whether it's we get on the Focus on the Family website and look at articles, whether we pick up things from the library, or whether we ask for good advice, good wisdom, whether we join a parenting group or just simply rededicate ourselves praying for our families, extended families, whatever it is, wherever we find ourselves. God, that we do that. Lord, for the young people that are here today, young people listening, sound of my voice, would they understand this is their command? This is their sin. This is their opportunity to do what's right. To honor and obey mom or dad, stepmom, stepdad, grandma, grandpa. And God, for those this is difficult because of the sin in an adult's life, God, would you help them? Would you help them to know it's not their fault? Would you help them to know it's not because of them? Would they not feel guilty because of sinful decisions that another adult has made? Would you help them know they're loved and they are precious and highly favored by the Father in heaven who sent His Son to die on the cross for them and ever lives rising from the grave on the third day? God, would you help us to communicate that message of grace and love and acceptance? And would you help us to be renewed to reach and teach the next generation to love and honor a family that they can see so they one day love and honor a God that cannot. Oh, how I pray you'd help us do just that in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed.